verse 9. During the night, Paul had a vision. And we're looking here today at the visionary church. So let's bow in prayer as we begin. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Evan and Audrey and their children. They've committed their lives to you. As they get ready to go, make the final preparations, we pray that you would help them, give them strength, give them safety as they travel, and help them provide housing for them, help them as they get settled in. And Lord, I pray that you would go before them and prepare their path. And I pray for all of our students here this week as they get ready to go back to school, that you would go before them and prepare their path. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, to receive your word today. And I pray for the filling of your spirit to speak forth as your servant the words of God to, Lord, as you would have. And Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in our looking at the book of Acts, and we finish the first journey that Paul made. And we're going to look here at the beginning of the second journey, the start of the second journey. And Paul said to Barnabas, it's time we visit Galatia and see how those churches are doing. Barnabas agreed, but wanted to take John Mark along. Paul refused, pointing out that Mark deserted them on that last trip, and they couldn't agree about this. So they decided to go in different directions. Paul chose Silas to go with him. And while they were visiting Galatia, they found a young man named Timothy, and he was highly respected by all the believers. So Paul encouraged him to join their ministry. And then one night, Paul dreamed, and he saw a man saying, "Come, come, cross over the sea and help us." And Paul awoke and knew that this was from God. As we look today at this map here, the city of Neapolis, we see here the city of Neapolis in the beginning of that second missionary journey. And this city of Neapolis was a seaport to Philippi. It was about 10 miles from Philippi in northeast Macedonia, that province of Macedonia. And this church was founded by Paul. It represents to us a visionary church. Neapolis means new city. Paul could never settle down to a comfortable ministry anywhere as long as there were open doors for the gospel. It's easy to try to want that which is comfortable. But Paul wanted what God would have in looking for those open doors. So here we see in this city here today, here we see a new city brings a new partner and a new helper, a new vision, a new mission, and a new direction. And I know a lot of us are facing some things coming up here that may be new to us. Going back to school, a new school for some of you. Going to a new class, new roommates, and new classmates, I should say. Some going to college, maybe new roommates. And we need to, we have anticipation, and we need to realize that God is with us as we face those new challenges. So the first thing I want us to look at today is a new partner. Now remember how Barnabas and Paul, it was like salt and pepper. You couldn't say one without the other. Barnabas and Paul had traveled together, and they were united, and they traveled together. And thank God for providing partners who can work with us. But we see here sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the Word of God and see how they're doing. Let us go back to their Galatia." Remember, we finished up in Galatia and we looked at the Acts 15 and the letter to the Galatians. So Paul and Barnabas agreed. They both agreed. It was important that they do this second missionary trip. But also we see here, Paul and Barnabas disagreed. they did not agree on who should be on that mission team. Barnabas' suggestion. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them. If you remember, Mark was his younger cousin. He wanted to take Mark with him. Paul's suggestion was this. Paul said, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and he had not continued with them in the work. He had gone back and not continued with them. So Paul thought it was best not to take him. And so what you have here, sometimes you have to, what Paul and Barnabas did, sometimes there are different viewpoints. We should do this, we should do that. And sometimes you can reach an agreement. Sometimes you have to maybe even do what they did, agree to disagree. But if we agree, you can agree or disagree, or agree to disagree, but always having a peaceful spirit. Look with me, if you would, please, that this a peaceful spirit, Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. Here's a good verse to remind us of this. Romans chapter 12. If you look here with me at verse 18, Romans 12, 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. It's not possible to agree on everything. You've been married for a while, you know that. We don't always agree on everything. But we do reach this agreement. We peacefully work on these things. We may even agree to disagree or have a time when we think about it. To agree to disagree doesn't mean you're not talking to one another. But you're communicating with one another in a peaceful way until you can maybe reach an agreement on this. So, we see the example that they gave us. There was contention. That tells us here in the verse that they had sharp disagreement, that they parted company. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left. Now we might ask the question, who was right? Well, perhaps both men were right on some things and maybe they were wrong on other things. You see, Paul looked at people and he asked this question. What can they do for God's work? What can they do for God's work? While Barnabas, he looked at people and he asked another question. What can God's work do for them? Now these are two very important questions. Maybe sometimes in choosing a team to team up with somebody, we might choose someone to think that, they have it all together and they can be a good part of this team. Realizing that God uses everyone, and maybe God needs to use this work that God's work can do for them. I was thankful for the testimonies we heard last week of the CYIA youth as they participated this summer. And they shared some very important lessons that they learned and some stories they learned. And it was very encouraging. I'm sure every one of them they shared that they would like to tell the perfect story. Teach the perfect lesson. But they made mistakes like we all do. But it was a learning experience. And so, we see this between the choosing of their mission team here. But there is also commendation. They were commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. Well, God is maybe raising up here then two teams. And we commend both of these teams as they go forth. And so he went through Syrian, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. So we see then a new partner. Friday night, Ann Pierce, who went through our training and gone to China, had been there 5 years teaching English in a university. And she's back for a couple of reasons. Her father may have to have knee surgery, and her mother may have to have back surgery. So we need to pray for her parents. She also felt like she needed, after 5 years, she wanted to come back for 6 months to kind of recharge her batteries. And so we're thankful for Anna. And in the last few years, she was sharing with us that there was another single lady that had gone there to teach English, that God has given her a partner. And the two of them are quite opposite in their personality. But God has brought them together to work together, and so given them a partner. As Evan and his family return, my understanding, as I've talked with him, is that God has also given them partners to work with there in northern Japan. And so God gives us a partner. We can also partner with them in prayer. We can be their prayer partners, upholding them in prayer. And we need prayer partners. So you need those who will stay with you in prayer and pray for you. All of us need prayer partners. We need partners that we can labor, work together. And so they had here a new partner. And then second, I want you to see a new helper. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. Now Timothy was taught the Word of God from a child, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but his father was a Greek, and perhaps not a believer. And Timothy received his name, which means one who honors God. And that's a good to remind us as leaders that we are to honor God, lift His name up high. And then from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, they were devout Jews who became believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they taught Timothy the Old Testament scriptures from his childhood. Now look with me here, if you would please, at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. This is a reminder to us as parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. You too should be on your guard. That's chapter 4. Let me get back to chapter 3. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From the time you were an infant, it's never too young to start reading the Bible stories, reading the Scripture, doing Bible verses with children and youth. And I remember as a young person hearing the Bible stories. I remember even as a teenager, and when we would have times together as a family, and sometimes we would take turns and it would be my turn to share a verse with the rest of my family members. So remember that. Let that be a reminder to us. Timothy was taught the Word. And then the second thing, we see that Timothy was led to Christ by Paul. Three times Paul says, my true son in the faith. So Paul was like a spiritual father to him. He had heard the Scriptures, but he heard from Paul the gospel. And he received the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart, into his life. He put his faith and trust that Jesus Christ died on the cross for his son, his sin. And he received salvation. And then, third thing we see here, that Timothy was discipled by Paul. Now here's a good verse I would like for you to read together with me. 2 Timothy 2:2. Alright, 2:2:2. Remember that. 2 Timothy 2:2. Let's read it together. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. As you look at this verse, we know that we're to make disciples. Here it shows what it means to make disciples. Look at the four generations. You would refer to Timothy. Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. You've heard from me. Me is Paul. So the things that Paul taught Timothy, Timothy was to teach those things to faithful men, reliable men. Pass those things on that you learn so that they can do what? They can teach others. So here you see four generations of Christians. And so the things that we have learned, we are to teach to others. So we might ask, who is your Paul? Who is the one who is teaching you and helping you? My Paul is Tim Siebel, my prayer partner. And I've asked you to pray for him. He has right now stage 4 bone cancer. And so I ask you to pray for him. He is my Paul. And then who is your Timothy? Who is the one that you're sharing the things that you have learned? A couple of Timothys in my life. And then the things you teach them, they are to teach others who would be faithful and learning those things so that they in turn can teach others. So you see here the pattern, what it means to be discipled. And so the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of Timothy. He had been taught well. He was a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then we see the fourth thing here, that Timothy was circumcised. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. So he had him circumcised. He circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area. For they all knew that his father was a Greek. All right, now this brings a big question here. First of all, we remember, number one, the decision of the Jerusalem Council last week. Acts 15, last time we looked at that, was that it was not necessary to be circumcised in order to be saved. You do not need to become a Jew to be saved. That's very clear. And then we see, secondly, the decision for Titus. Later on we see Titus. Titus was not to be circumcised in order to be, because lest the enemy think that he was promoting their cause. So in Galatians chapter 2, Paul said Titus should not be circumcised. He was working among those Galatian believers. And then number 3, here's the decision for Timothy to be circumcised. Not for his salvation, please take note of that, but for his service. All right? Because he would be working with both Jews and Gentiles. So to make him more acceptable in his service with Paul, going to the Gentiles as well as to the Jews, he was circumcised. Now, to help us understand that, I want you to turn to your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Here is a very, very good principle to keep in mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we look here at verses 19. Starting at verse 19, listen to what Paul says here. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jew, I became like a Jew. And so it was for Timothy. He became like a Jew. To win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. Here he's making note of the fact that I'm not saved by the law, but to serve them. To those that are not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, and am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I might share in its blessing. Now, this is becoming all things to all people. Having been a missionary for 9 years in Taiwan, I must tell you something that disturbed me. And I knew some people, they were good people, they were good missionaries, but they would live in a compound by them with other, maybe other foreign missionaries, other American missionaries. And at the beginning, when we first got there, we were living at the Bible College. And it was in a kind of a compound. And the Lord laid upon my heart Luke chapter 5, where Jesus told His disciples to launch out into the deep. Go out into the deep and cast down your nets. And so God moved upon our hearts to move out in the village. There were no foreigners in that village. Nowhere in sight. And God led to start a church in that village, the only church even to today, 33 years later, only one church in that village. And I remember we moved there. We'd have people kind of looking in our windows, kind of, who are these foreigners here? You know, becoming all things to all people. And it was learning to live like those people we are ministering to live. He was a new helper. We see also that Timothy was a co-laborer who ministered with Paul. As he traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. And the churches were what? Strengthened in the faith. And they grew daily in numbers. As they grew in the Word of God, they grew in numbers. And so we see the example here of a new helper. And we all need to be like a Timothy, be a teachable spirit, wanting to be discipled and to be a helper. And then we see next a new vision. A new vision. Remember this, the Lord makes firm the steps. He makes firm our steps. He leads us step by step, Psalm 37, verse 23. He also our stops. Our steps and our stops. God opens and closes doors. And so we see here some closed doors. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, and having been kept by this Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia, there is a stop. And when they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter there, of Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Another stop. Now, Paul tried to enter these new territories for the Lord by traveling east to Asia Minor and Bithynia, but the Lord closed the door. Paul was probably disappointed, maybe even perhaps a little discouraged. But God planned for the message to get there another time. Later on in the book of Acts, we see how the message went to those places. And so we see sometimes there are doors that are closed. But then there are other times that God opens the doors, open doors. They passed by Mysia, and they went down to Troas. And during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia, the province of Macedonia, across the sea, standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. And after Paul had seen that vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. And then from Troas, we put out to sea. We sailed straight for Samothrace, and the next day we went on to Neapolis. So here at Troas, Paul was called to Macedonia by a man whom he had seen in a night vision. We need to be open, that God could speak to our hearts and give us a vision. But He would call us to a certain area, to a certain thing. May we see what those, hear the call, the cry of the people that are there. And then secondly, we see that during this time, Dr. Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, joined Paul and his team at Troas. Some have even suggested maybe it was Luke that he saw in his vision. We don't know for sure. But we know that Luke joined him. And so here we have the three we sections, Acts 16, Acts 20, and Acts 27 to 28. Three times when Luke is with them, he refers to we. I have set before you an open door. Now think about this open door. God will open doors no man can shut. As we pray and seek God's will, if the door closes, accept that as God's will and keep on going and see how God will open doors for you. And remember this. I think this is a good thing for us also to remember. Until God opens the door, praise Him in the hallway. While you're waiting for the open door, don't fret. Don't be worried. But while you're waiting, praise Him in the hallway until God opens that door, as God leads and opens that doorway. And then number four, a new mission. Paul had a mission, but now he has also a new mission. Paul's mission is this, and we see this here in Romans chapter 10, what Paul's mission was. He says these words, and I'd like you to read them with me, if you would, please. We're reminded of the fact here that we are to go and make disciples of all nations, and that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations until the end will come. When all people groups are reached, then the Lord Jesus Christ will return. That doesn't mean all will believe, but all people groups are reached. And so we see Paul's mission here. And Romans 10, verses 12 to 15, would you read these words with me, please, together? For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly bless all who call on Him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This was the calling. This was the burden that Paul had on his heart. How can they believe if they're not heard? They need to hear. And God sends those who will preach and proclaim the word. And so this was Paul's mission. It ought to be our mission. How can they believe if they've not heard? It's our responsibility to tell them. But then I want you to see then that Paul also, he has a new mission here. And this new mission, I want you to read these verses with me. Romans 15, verses 20 to 21. Let's read these together, please. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ has not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about Him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. That was always Paul's ambition, to give forth the gospel. But he went to the Jews first. And then he went to the Gentiles. And now, with his second missionary journey, he's going where there are no Jews. You're going to see very few Jews. He's going to the Gentiles. And so, reaching the unreached. Some people refer to this as a 1040 window. But reaching those areas of the world that many, many have never heard one time about Jesus. Have never once heard the gospel. And maybe we ask ourselves this question, why should I go and tell the gospel five times, or to a person who's heard five times when someone has not heard once, or 10 times? Now, God may lead us to tell that person maybe the fifth time, but also our hearts ought to be burdened for those. Now, God may send us to other countries to do that in the world, but also beware of this fact. God may send people from other countries to us. We're amazed. Our neighbors behind us are from Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq. And they invited us into their homes. And what an opportunity that is to share with them. God, give us that vision of reaching the unreached. And then we see a new direction. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, God told Abraham. And you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. Of course, the offspring of Abraham was the Messiah, the promised one. But notice here, when they started the gospel, where did it start? It started in an eastern direction. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So first, in the Middle East, you realize that Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, these are all Middle Eastern areas. And then when they went to the east, in Acts we see the missionary journeys, they went to Asia, Asia Minor. And so the church started in the east. It did not start in the west. It wasn't until the second missionary journey Paul crossed the sea and went into the west. The Apostle Thomas also went to India and perhaps even to China. It is so we can ask, sometimes people say, is it a western church or is it an eastern church? One of those questions you say, yes. It's both. But it started in the east. I've met some Chinese friends who say, well, that's a western church. That's a Yangjiao. That's a western religion. No. It started in the east and then went west. And then went east and west, north and south. Alright? But we need to realize this, that it was a eastern. It started in the east. And then it went in a western direction. I say unto you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their places at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. In heaven, from the east and from the west, we will join together and partake of that fellowship with Him. People will come from east, west, north and south, and will take their places in the feast of the kingdom of God. Every hemisphere, all nations will come to Him. So we're reminded of the fact that in a world in which 9 out of every 10 people are lost, 3 out of 4 have never heard the way out, and 1 out of every 2 cannot hear, the church sweeps on. When there is many places, like what we found in that village there in Taichung County, over 20, 30,000 people, they did not have one church. Not one. Could it be we think there must be some other way? Or perhaps we don't care that much? We see this in the book called The Great Commission. So we must ask ourselves, are we fulfilling the Great Commission or the Great Omission? Are we going baptizing, discipling, children, youth, adults? Are we reaching the unreached both locally and globally? Are we praying, giving, training, serving, and going? So we're reminded, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. You realize you are a new creation in Christ. You put your faith in Christ with a new partner, the Holy Spirit within us, and a new helper, that Holy Spirit, and a new vision and a new mission and a new direction. May God remind us of this and lay this upon our hearts. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, we do remember, many of our young people, the children are starting a new school year. We have new opportunities, maybe a new job, a new neighborhood. As You lead and direct the Usleys and they go back to Japan. Father, that we would reach the unreached. That we would go with the gospel. And Father, that we would have a vision. That we would see these people crying out to us, come and tell me the good news. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.